All right, we're in the book of Proverbs in the series Uncommon Sense as we look at part two of God, His wisdom on our words, our speech, our communication. And we saw some of the dangers and negative things a little bit more that side a couple weeks ago when we looked at our words. Today we'll see a little bit more of the positive. And we saw in the passage we read in Proverbs 18 some of the ones that are there on your words. There's a whole lot more in Proverbs. And so I gave you that sheet on part one a couple weeks ago, but this second sheet also lays out the main ones that we'll look at today. I probably haven't even covered all of the ones on your words within those two sheets. I'm sure I haven't, because there's a lot more I know that they said, mentioned, I've read before in Proverbs. But we're going to look at the positive idea of our words today. And as I said, most of the ones we'll look at today are on that sheet. Now, what were the goals of effective communication that we see according to Proverbs and the Bible a couple weeks ago? We said we want to become the right person, godly, growing in wisdom, with the right words, wise words, given in the right way, love, compassion, tenderness, the right way, the right tone, the right motivation out of a love and desire to restore people, to build them up in Christ, given at the right time, with tact. We have to speak the truth, but there is something to having timing and tact in our words with the right information, of course, the truth. Sometimes people can act like they're loving and everything, but not have the truth. We'll talk about that today. Aiming for the right results, and all of that is a part of God through the truth, building trust in a community, in the church community, in relationships, in a marriage, etc. And there's great wisdom about this in the book of Proverbs. Somebody said, others may say certain things, tell certain jokes, use certain communication devices, but we as Christians must learn to communicate in light of the fact that we'll someday have to answer to God for how we communicated. And that's true. It's what Jesus said, didn't he? We'll give an account for every idle word that was spoken. And we said a couple weeks ago, yes, it's true that with many words, the proverb does tell us, with many words, there's much sin. But if we're Christians and God is working in our hearts, making us wise, transforming us, as we get focused on the positive use of godly words, if we're growing in wisdom, yes, words can get us in trouble, but they can also help us stay out of trouble or get us out of trouble. They can actually help other people in the troubles that they're in. And I hope you didn't misunderstand me from a couple weeks ago that we do have to talk, of course. God gave us words that can be used. We don't want to just keep our mouths closed all the time, obviously, you know. Or that's the goal, just to be silent. No, we want to become godly people who, out of a heart of wisdom and growth in Christ, have words with substance. Words that will be used to build people up in Christ and to help others in what they're going through. But we do have to learn to be cautious, as we talked about restraint and reflection, growing in God's grace and wisdom in Christ so that we can do it in the right way. We saw over and over the Proverbs about the prideful person who never has anything edifying come out of his mouth. Instead, his mouth is destroying him because why? He's so prideful, he always thinks he's got it figured out. You know, he doesn't need to wait on God to hear what God's tried to show him and to understand the situation. But Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Why is that little bit on the end there, the second line? A person is sensitive, a wise person, to the problems people are facing around them, and that affects, based on God's word and the truth and the situation, what they're going to say to others. Someone is wounded, can be wounded in spirit, and the wise, if they're wise, can actually be used to bring healing to their lives, to help them to see things from God's point of view, to understand the situation based on God's word, to help their focus to get upon God and upon Christ and see what God can do to help them. If we're wise, God works through the wise with wise words. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Part of our effectiveness in our words to help and heal is not only the accuracy of them, right? And the accuracy of knowing the truth and understanding the situation, but also understanding the people we're dealing with. That we're sensitive in the tone, yes, but also the timing, as I said. the tact. We're careful about it. Proverbs talks about this over and over, that tact and timing matter, and that even our joy in being used with our words, the proverb says, is related not only that we have a helpful word, but that we share it at the right time, that people will see that that word is helpful because of timing and tact. The Proverbs talk over and over about the timing of our speech. I mean, we know in life, if you play golf, it's the difference between a straight shot and going into the woods to find your ball, you know, timing. And it's in a lot of things in life. Trust me, I know about that in the past, going into the woods all the time because of timing. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." I heard about this story of a lady that gave a pastor's family a pie. And I don't in any means by this commend lying in any way. But it was so bad, the pie, that the family apparently threw it out. But in thanking the lady, he said, "We just want you to know that a pie like yours doesn't last long around our house." And don't in any way commend lying here. But just creativity sometimes, or sensitivity to people, is what we're talking about. Proverbs 25:11-12 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." That proverb's talking about timing in our speech and how it can be so effective when a person's growing in wisdom and knowledge and then sensitivity, and then at the right time led by the Lord to say what needs to be said that's truthful, but the timing's right. This guy, Nick Vujicic, who is a Christian evangelist born without limbs, he tells of this time when he was down in the dumps at the end of his rope, literally considering suicide. But he tells of how God brought this man into his life, a Christian whose words at the right time brought this incredible encouragement to lift him up literally out of death in that time and what he faced. A right answer, somebody said, given at the wrong time can be well-intentioned, could be technically right, but damaging, but the right answer at the right time is priceless. That's the goal, isn't it? To speak the right word to the right person at the right time. And we may not understand the influence or see it at the time of what God's doing through our words, but it can make an incredible difference as Christians grow in wisdom and are used with godly speech. Remember Ephesians 4:29? Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit, that it may grace those, it says literally, those who listen. So I want to look at two main areas with some subpoints within them about how God does this. Some of the Proverbs, not all of them, about how he can help us have godly speech that makes an impact. And the first one is being straightforward in our speech, honest. As some people say, being a straight shooter, cutting it straight, but we're talking about in God's way of doing it. And the second part is about growing in a selflessness versus a selfishness, a selflessness in our speech. First of all, straightforward speech, meaning that we say what we mean and mean what we say. I remember reading this story about, I think it's true, but this lady had found out one of her grandfathers had been many, many years ago in history executed in the Sing Sing prison, electric chair, I guess. And she didn't want that in the whole history. And so she put in there instead, one of her grandfathers occupied the chair of applied electricity in one of America's best known institutions. Now that's a wrong way of looking at it. But this is the way it is. People can twist things, can't they, with their words. They can make things mean something that's not true. Wouldn't you agree it's easy for all of us to deceptively twist our words at times, so that they mean very little and they don't communicate the truth? And if the truth is not communicated in relationships, and that's not the foundation, trust isn't going to grow. Relationships are going to have problems because that's the foundation, truth, upon where trust is founded within the marriage, within the friendship, within the church community. Proverbs 12:19 says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for the moment." Now, truthful here, somebody said, it's not only about the idea of veracity and the accuracy of something, that's true, but it's also the durability of it, the permanence of it, the reliability of what's being said. in the thing. Truthful lips endure forever. I love the story of this pastor. He told his congregation, next week I'm going to preach on the sin of lying. And to help you understand it, they must have been kind of young in their faith, he said, I want you to read, all of you, all of Mark 17. Well, the following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his message, the pastor asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many had read Mark 17. And all these hands are going up. And he smiled at him and he said, all right, Mark only has 16 chapters. Now I'm going to preach on the sin of lying. Well, he had it, didn't he? But it's so easy when people are caught, isn't it, to deceive. Somebody said, what applies to the words applies to the speaker. If you have truthful lips, God will make your life stand firm. And that's what it's talking about in that proverb. The reality is that as God helps us get this clear, if we're in Christ and we know the one who is the truth. Remember Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. As we know who we are in Christ, who is the truth, he'll set us free more and more as to who we are in him and to speak truthfully and to be used, have words based on his truth and that idea and mindset that affect others. That foundation that's at the heart of straightforward speech is key to being used with godly speech. So when in our relationships, families, churches, friendships, we speak that way based on what is, based on God's truth, and based on what is actually true and what actually happened, and out of love and tact and timing with that solid foundations, then more and more trust is built. And we're able to speak. That foundation is essential. We're able then to say things that are godly and helpful to build people up. And even sometimes when people don't understand what we believe or we're lied about, we're deceived, but if we stand on the truth, and in that we remember the truth and life go hand in hand. They're bound together, and to the one who is the truth, Jesus, who is the way. Once again, wisdom, as we've seen from the beginning of Proverbs, is about seeing life from God's perspective more and more. Seeing it His way, fearing the Lord, seeing the long-term outcome of choices. What really matters, even though around us everybody else thinks other things and does other things, we're seeing it from God's perspective. We fear the Lord. That's the beginning and the continual source of wisdom, isn't it? And that's key to our relationships and speaking the truth. As we're straightforward with our words, it's like building a building on a solid foundation. If you don't build on the foundation of the truth in the relationship, if it's false, then people, they constantly are trying to do things to shore up the foundation, to keep the structure from crumbling, to spin things and be deceptive and use flattery and use exaggeration to puff themselves up. We'll talk about those in a moment. But no, this is the great motivation for being straightforward with speech, is that the believer walking in integrity doesn't have to continually weave and spin their words and use their words to protect themselves and puff themselves up or to get themselves out of trouble. No, that person can't be used in a selfless way to build up somebody else with their words, because they're always having to use words for themselves in a selfish way. But speech based on truth is essential, because Proverbs says this is where true community is built. This is how we grow. That's what builds trust. And this is where our speech often gets us in trouble, because we don't ask God to help us see our hearts. But as God sets us free in Christ, we're truly free more and more in Jesus as we're transformed, built it on the truth, speak the truth in love. And our relationships grow, and we speak more and more out of the assurance that we have in Jesus, out of a heart of love for people, not to try to get something out of them, but to give something, because we have everything that we need in Jesus. And we realize that more and more, and we can use our words for good. They can be used. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. And as our hearts are transformed, this is what the Lord does. When people are caught up in twisted, deceptive speech, the positive side of speech is almost impossible. Well, it is impossible, isn't it? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the heart's got to be transformed, grounded on the truth and in the truth. And the more Christians in the community are growing in love and speaking truthfully, the more people trust them, rely on what's being said, know that it's based on God's truth. Relationships are built on that, not innuendo, not gossip, not flattery, exaggeration, but the truth. So this one thing we're talking about here is the fact that we need to learn, ask God to help us to learn to say, based on love, yes, but based on the truth, to say what God's calling us to say in the right way. So here's a couple things that we can do that Proverbs talk about, areas to avoid, pitfalls, that when we fall into these, it's very hard for our speech to be straightforward. But if God, by His grace, helps us to avoid these and see these and recognize these, will help us to grow in straightforward speech. Number one is exaggeration. Exaggeration. Proverbs talks about it quite a few different times. This is just a couple examples. Wouldn't you agree that it is so easy in our pride, isn't it, to speak with our mouths about ourselves, to say, look at what I've done, you know, look at how I... We want to make sure people know. And sometimes it's easy to stretch, you know, like the fish story, you know, stretch the truth. But the Proverbs say that's why it's so important to be careful that you don't toot your own horn. You let others toot it. If somebody's going to toot, you don't do it. Listen to Proverbs 27:2. Do we say that in Australia? To somebody toot your own horn or somebody else? Yeah, we say that in America. But 27:2, it says, let another praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else, not your own lips. Somebody said, self-praise stinks. A friend's praise limps. A stranger's praise rings. See, bragging and lying are like first cousins in a way. And when more people are exaggerating, they're trying really in their pride to prop themselves up. We know that, don't we? It's insecurity deep down. And that's flowing out from the heart into what they say. Walkie said in his commentary, self-praise is unfitting because it destroys one's relationship with God and man. Out of hearts that are not focused on Christ and growing in His grace and assurance and built up in the knowledge of Him, but are filled instead, that void, with insecurity, out of that often comes boastful words, exaggerated words, and they're empty. That's the thing too. They don't do anything to help anybody else. There's nothing to them. They're like empty kilojoules spiritually. And we're just feeding on them in our pride, but we have nothing to give to anybody else. And that's part of the problem. Self-praise is the fruit of pride and self-love, which we hate in others, but we often, somebody said, tolerate in ourselves. Again, when we're talking about ourselves constantly or somebody else is doing that, of course there's a self-focus. There's no room for words that focus on others. And the reality is, in this talking of ourselves, it's based on a heart of pride. And the chances are, speech like that, it's not straightforward, it's not going to be truthful, but it's not attractive to anybody. People recognize it, don't they? It turns people off. Self-centered speech simply reveals what's in our hearts. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're needing this, craving acceptance, wanting somebody to think something good about us. We're not resting in the grace that's in Jesus and speaking out of that. And the fact is, this type of speech is not believed to be true and won't result in trust in relationships. And that's what we got to be careful. We are to encourage one another. But the Proverbs talk about when words are coming from one Christian to another, based in truth, out of assurance, out of a love, to build the person up in the right way, in the right timing, God can use those words of encouragement and praise, in a way, to build one another up. When the focus then is put on Jesus in that encouragement. And that's what we want to remember. That only flows when words come out of an assurance in God's love and flow from one Christian's mouth about what God is doing in another Christian's life. And the focus is put on Christ. And people can grow and be built up. The more the focus is taken off of using words for ourselves and put more on teaching others, then the more people will be built up. The more our words can be used in a helpful, impactful way. The more we know who we are in Jesus and know His Word and how to teach that Word and encourage based on that Word, the more our words, of course, will have substance. They'll be helpful. They'll build each other up. When words come out about ourselves, even when it can be about godliness or spiritual things, When it's about us, what happens? It can seem like it's a good thing. You know, somebody's talking about godly things, but that can even be prideful. That always backfires, doesn't it? When we praise ourselves, when we talk about ourselves, we don't want to hear that from other people, do we? And they don't want to hear it from us when we're tooting our own horn and talking about ourselves all the time. And we have to ask God to help us look in our hearts to see why. The problem is we can get so focused on speech that builds ourselves up, we don't grow in using speech that's straightforward and honest and truthful and based in love to build others up. That's the first thing to avoid if we want to be straightforward in our speech and use in a godly way, is exaggeration. Second thing is flattery. The Proverbs talk a lot about flattery. Proverbs 29:5 says, "Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet." Now, what is flattery? Somebody said, if gossip is saying behind a person's back what you would never say to his or her face, that's gossip. Flattery is saying to a person's face what you would never say behind his back or her back. It's reversed, isn't it? See, when we don't recognize this sometimes. We got to be careful. We want to encourage one another, but we want to be based in the truth and our growing love for God and for others and wisdom, and that subtly we're not sometimes using people for our own advantage, which is what flattery is all about. And we got to be guarded about that with other people, how they might flatter us. To flatter people is essentially to build yourself up, not others, trying to make yourself look good at somebody else's expense. Why? Because eventually, if you're not truthful with them and you're just puffing them up and you're just layering it on them, you know, how great they are. But if it's not truthful, you know, eventually they can believe what's not true. It can actually hurt their lives. And that's the danger of flattery. See, the reason God has a problem with this empty speech and words is because they're not accurate. And with something like flattery, it's because God cares about our motives. Not just what we do, but why we do it. What God wants to change us in our hearts. That'll affect what comes out in our lives, in our speech. And so flattery, things like that, can point to impure motives. Empty speech, like I said, is like empty kilojoules. It doesn't build the muscle. It only causes problems for the body. And we're talking about the body of Christ. We want truth to be said and love. And, you know, you've all had that feeling before, haven't you, when somebody's just kind of laying it on you thick, you know, about how great you are. I mean, we want to be encouraged, don't we? And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I like to be encouraged. Please encourage me. Some of you are good at that. Don't misunderstand me. We want to encourage one another. But sometimes you sort of get the fact where you know, right? It's a bit like with somebody that's doing it out of a wrong motive, you can start to recognize it, can't you? Just like too much icing on the cake. Somebody said, we love people who flatter us for a while. And I've had some people like this in my life in America before. And you don't really recognize it right in the middle of it, you know, when you, and then you can see through it more later sometimes. But this person said it gets old quickly, doesn't it? We can start to see that it's not the truth. Somebody said flattery, if in fact that's what a person is doing, isn't really helpful. Encouragement is helpful, but flattery hypes, it doesn't help. And in the end, like this proverb says, a net is spread in secret. It can bring great harm in the end to those that hear it. And sometimes I think for all of us, wouldn't you agree, we're just not thinking about the fact. We just subtly get into it and but maybe we're not growing in assurance of Christ and loving truthful words are not coming out. And we just have to ask God to help us to see our hearts, to see what is really there, to examine ourselves, to do a heart check. Because sometimes we might just be doing it kind of with this mentality of, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, you know. I'll help you if you help me. We've got to ask God to help us do it out of the right motivation, because He cares about that and He uses that. Because when we really encourage out of that way, God really uses it. Like what Paul told the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 5 to 6. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Jesus. He didn't come seeking approval. Why? Because he knew he was approved in Christ. That was his point. My assurance is in Christ. I'm not coming trying to do things out of a wrong motivation to get you to like me, because I know I'm accepted in Christ. And he's concerned that people understand even his words are flowing out of that sense of assurance and that understanding of the grace that's in Jesus Christ. And so he's not coming to try to get approval. And so he's not going to use flattering words. And this is why Paul's life was being changed more and more. He was becoming like Jesus. He wouldn't speak with flattering words that were based on greed or lust for what he wanted. And the point of this is that is that this is ungodly speech. It doesn't flow out of assurance in Christ that builds people up, that brings glory to God. So we got to ask God to help us see our hearts. When I'm speaking, God, help me to see, what are my motives? Am I trying, as we say sometimes, at least in America, to butter somebody up, you know? Hopefully that's not the case. But even Christians, we can all struggle with this, can't we? But also when we can recognize this in other people that aren't Christians around us, that could be hurtful to us. And we need to ask God to help us to see why we're speaking. Are we speaking out of a love for Jesus, a growing love for others, out of a growing knowledge of his word and wisdom, because we want to be used for him to build other people up? And that leads me to the second main point. Not only straightforward speech, but selfless speech. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a well or a spring of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." We've got to ask ourselves also, do we want to be seen by people around us more and more like that? How are we seen? Are we seen as a spring of life? And what we say to people sense through our words and our language and how we speak that there's something different about that person? How do we want to be seen? Do we really want to be a fountain of life like Solomon says here? If so, we've got to remember, as we've said already in Proverbs over and over, it's only going to come through humility. Pride always blocks it. A fountain is refreshing because of the fact that it's got a continual supply of water. The only way that happens for us is as we're humbly walking with the Lord, growing in wisdom, knowing we can't do it on our own, walking in the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. It's the only way it's going to happen with our words. Proverbs 10:14, "Wise people store knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." The wise are humble and focused on the source outside of themselves, the wisdom of God, in which they're growing to understand is so beautiful and wonderful, changing their lives and changing the lives of people around them. And sometimes I wonder if we can get so focused on living our lives our way, even for us as Christians, that we don't even realize the motivation of our words, how they could be aimed at what we want to do in life. And therefore, because we're subtly shifting away from God's will and humility to our own way, we don't even realize the fact that our words aren't very helpful. They might not be the most negative things in the world. We might not be saying the bad things that we hear out of people's mouths all around us in the world, you know. But we're talking here about Christians being used to be on the positive side with godly words. Sometimes our words, even for Christians, can spring from a more of a self-focus when we want others to meet our needs and they don't, and then it comes out in hurtful words or anger or frustration or a lack of love in our actions towards others. But when by grace in Jesus our hearts are made new, then we begin by grace to speak more and more like Jesus. He changes us. Proverbs 10:20, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver." Love that phrase, choice silver. "The heart of the wicked is worth little." The image here in that proverb is of a heart like silver, refined, transformed by grace, meaning that's the only way our words are of worth is through the transformation God has to bring on our hearts and lives in Jesus. And of course, that's a process. But out of that comes choice words. Beautiful words, godly words, words that God can use through our lives and others. Like somebody said, 5 minutes of conversation with a truly wise, godly person can be more rewarding than hours spent with a totally foolish person, ungodly person. And that's true, isn't it? But how do we get there? We've got to spend our time with the lost, of course. We want to reach people for Christ. Of course, that's key. But how are we going to do it? Remember, what we're aiming to be are those with words that are wise, who give speech and words that's worth hearing. And we can, look, we can spend time listening to what everybody else is saying in the world and all the other things going on around us, but where is that going to really leave us in having wisdom? There's so much information around us, isn't there? And all that we hear everywhere, in the internet and the news and social media and our world of information overload. But are we growing to have those choice words that come from those that store up wisdom, that walk in humility? Do we want to be seen this way? Think about it. As a believer's heart is being changed by Christ, we're continually to seek God's wisdom, nourished in that wisdom, and then we're able to be those that have those choice and precious words that have God's wisdom flowing through them and from them. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of wisdom. Fools die in the sense he's saying here spiritually. They can't feed themselves. How are you going to feed anybody else if you're not fed yourself? Their hearts are not fed on God's word, the fool, but those in Jesus by grace are renewed regularly, able then to nourish others. We've got to be, folks, restored, don't we, regularly through God's wisdom. We know that as Christians. But we've got to constantly be renewed, hearing who we are in Him, seeing His view on life, constantly reading our Bibles. This is why we talk about reading the Bible over and over in the church, not just so people can say, I've checked it off on my list and I'm doing what everybody else does. No, it's so we'll really grow in grace in Christ. We'll really grow in wisdom. We'll be able to be used by God because this is where our joy is aligned. We've got to constantly be renewed and restored. God, somebody said, continually renews us as Christians, changing us as we hear the good news of His grace. And this is how our hearts were first changed, but this is how He continues to refresh us. The heart of the righteous will feed many with their words. I'll never forget many years ago, I was eating lunch at this restaurant. Never forget this family sitting down for lunch. And we probably all had a thing like this happen. But it was before the meal, you know, the father prayed over the meal. He had all the family holding hands together. I'm just sort of subtly observing. You know, this is great. You know, they're praising God in the prayer there at the restaurant. It had been 10 minutes, though, after they were done with the prayer, that I saw this same man blessing out the waitress. Say that in a bad way, because she had messed up the order. And I thought what James said. He said, with it we bless our mouth, the tongue. We bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the same similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, he said, proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? James is saying in the book of New Testament wisdom, it doesn't hook up. It doesn't add up. God is changing His people, filling them with His praises as we look to His word and we hear the gospel. We seek to encourage one another as Christians. We want it to continue forth, don't we? That we'll be able to be used to reach other people as we're those transformed that are able to ultimately share the good news, to share His word, to share the gospel. And look, folks, as we're transformed, and hey, I'm in the same boat as you, needing continually to be changed and walk in humility. But as that happens in us, God uses us to be those people that hopefully, you know, when we're around some people, like I'm trying to connect with some people in this basketball team that I'm on, you know, I don't know what the Lord's going to use of it, but somehow maybe if I'm walking with the Lord, they'll see something different in me. They'll hear something different. And what I say and how I encourage them, that then it can be led to the point where they hear God's word, they hear about the gospel. God wants to do this in our lives more and more and more around those that we come in contact with as we grow in wisdom and we're able to speak words that He uses through our lives that have substance that can become more like still waters and green pastures that the Lord uses, that they'll be drawn to Him, that build people up in the church, of course, but as we branch out to reach people for Christ. God can use the wise to feed many, reach people for Jesus Christ. And so we've got to be focused on listening to God and walking in humility, storing up what God is teaching us so we'll be ready then, as the proverb says, to share that knowledge, to share the truth about God. And so it takes a humility, of course, for us to grow in knowledge and wisdom, to be able to use words that have substance and really build people up. We want the Lord to do that in our lives more and more and more. We've got to be restocked and restored over and over and over. The Lord will use us. So we need to remember that as we close looking at our words today, that God can use our words as we have straightforward speech more and more, and selfless speech as His grace changes us. He can use us for His glory and honor. So let's turn to the Lord at this time.